body. But the Helping Hand Resource Center was easy enough to find, right off Main Street, as Commander Grace had told him. The low white building was decorated with giant colorful handprints on the sides and a large cheerful sign that proclaimed its name, and all are welcome. He parked in the far corner of the lot, backing into the space, as was his habit. A bitter wind greeted him, but he didn't bother with his jacket. The damn suit was hot enough, the way it clung to his back, plush red fabric anything but breathable. He remembered to grab the beard and wig, but no way was he putting those on until the last minute. He opened the door to the center, only to be greeted by an honest-to-God green-clad elf. Nick? The elf grinned at him like they'd been introduced already. And, okay, he wasn't a literal elf, just a small young man with curly blonde hair and an elf outfit he seemed perfectly comfortable in. Green and white striped tights, hat with a bell, curving slippers, and all.
Sergeant Major Nowicki, yes.
It had been years since he'd been just plain Nick for someone outside of his own head, and he wasn't about to start with this overly friendly elf.
Yes, Miriam told us to expect you. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you filling in for Wallace.
Nick couldn't remember ever hearing Commander Grace referred to by her first name. He knew it, of course, but she was his commanding officer first and foremost, even if she had made efforts over the last few months to make sure he felt welcome at Fort End. And when she asked him for this favor, he'd felt unable to say no, mainly because she was kind and generous and wasn't one to abuse her position and ask for special treatment.
Of course, everyone at the base is hoping for a full recovery from Mr. Grace.
The commander's husband was an elementary school teacher in mineral spirits, and they'd made their home here rather than on base as Nick did. And apparently every year they'd been stationed at Fort End, Mr. Grace had played Santa for this charity. The job entailed letting the local paper get photos of him in unusual locations around town so it could run a contest where readers tried to guess, "Where's Santa now?" And then he'd appear at a couple of different town events over the course of the season as part of a campaign to raise money for the charity's holiday efforts. The Graces loved this season and this tiny town. But Mr. Grace had suffered a heart attack 2 days ago and had been life-flighted all the way into Syracuse for open-heart surgery. Commander Grace had called him from I-81, worried not about making it to the hospital, but about whether there would be a Santa for this year's fundraiser. And he, fool that he was, had said he'd handle finding a replacement. Except everyone he talked to was already committed to something this weekend, and somehow he'd ended up being the one in the suit. A suit that was far too small, smelled vaguely of mothballs, and had probably seen better decades. But he was here to do his duty.
"I'm supposed to see Mr. McNally," he told the elf,
who was still looking up at him expectantly.
"That would be me. Call me Teddy, though. Everyone does."
Another broad grin. And of course, Mr. Casual was a Teddy. Despite his small stature and baby face, he had to be at least 25 since he was the director of this charity. Far too old and in charge to be a Teddy.
"Who's the one taking the pictures?"
He was eager to get this show on the road.
"That would be my cousin Rhonda."
He beckoned over a younger woman with similar curly blonde hair.
"She works for the paper. She's got several locations scouted out already. I thought you might like to start with a little tour of our facilities, get you up to speed on what we stand for, maybe get you more in the spirit of things."
That wasn't possible, as Nick didn't have an ounce of holiday spirit left, if he'd ever had any to begin with. But he wasn't out to be rude, so he nodded.
"You've got me for the day."
"Excellent!"
Another megawatt smile, this one worthy of a dental ad, all perfectly gleaming white teeth and wide, full lips. He really shouldn't be noticing McNally's mouth, full or otherwise. He wasn't here to get sidetracked by pouty perfection. One more month, he reminded himself. One more month at Fort End, which ironically really was the end for him. End of the line. The Army's refusal to let him re-up, bringing a 28-year career to a halt at the nation's most remote, northernmost outpost, a place that often felt like the end of the earth, far removed from his desert deployments and years stationed in Hawaii, California, and other warm states. He still wasn't exactly happy about the Army's decision to go all in on a reduction in forces, but he had a pretty sweet plan B waiting for him if he could just make it through this last month. One month, and he'd be in Florida, on a